In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith. It is Lesson 141 on Holy Communion. We have an image of the world with the pictures of the Blessed Sacrament scattered all over the globe. On either side of the globe, we have an angel. One angel is holding up a ciborium with the host elevated above the ciborium. And the other angel on the other side of the world is holding up a monstrance with the Blessed Sacrament in it. And the caption under the picture says, "In all parts of the world, Jesus Christ is truly and substantially present in the most blessed sacrament of the altar. Wherever we go, we can pay our Lord a visit in the Blessed Sacrament. Wherever we go, we can receive our Lord corporally in Holy Communion to refresh and sustain our souls. When we visit a town or city, we should first of all pay a visit to our Eucharistic Lord." First question, what is Holy Communion? Holy Communion is the receiving of Jesus Christ in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. Communion means a uniting or sharing together. In Holy Communion, Christ and our soul are intimately united, and we share the banquet of the Lord's table. When Napoleon the Great was at the height of his power, one of his generals asked him once what had been his happiest day of his life. Expecting to hear the emperor name a great battle, the general was surprised to hear him say, "My happiest day was the day of my first Holy Communion, for then I was brought nearest to my God." Christ commanded us to receive Holy Communion when he said, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you." St. John chapter 6, verse 54. It is the food of our souls. Holy Communion increases in us the life of grace. During the persecution against Christianity in China, the grace given to the martyrs was noticed by the pagans themselves. The victims were cruelly scourged and tortured, but they continued firm in their faith and professed it openly and fearlessly. The infidels, amazed at such fortitude, said, quote, "Truly these people have been eating of that Eucharistic bread which they partake of in their assemblies. It cast a spell upon their souls." End quote. It is not necessary for us to receive Holy Communion under both kinds, under the forms of both bread and wine. It is sufficient to receive Holy Communion under one kind, for Christ is present, whole and entire, under each form of bread or wine. According to the Latin rite, which we follow, the laity is permitted to receive communion only under the form of bread. As this is a matter of discipline and not of doctrine, the practice of the Church has varied in the Oriental rite. Both kinds are still administered to the laity. Our present usage is more convenient and more accommodated to our needs. Spiritual communion is a fervent desire to receive Christ when we cannot do so sacramentally. It may be made at all times and in all places. It should be made at Mass and in visits to the Blessed Sacrament. It merits graces for us and unites us with Christ spiritually. When are we obliged to receive Holy Communion? We are obliged to receive Holy Communion during Easter time each year and when in danger of death. Our Lord commanded us to receive Holy Communion. The Church enforces this command by requiring us under pain of grievous sin to communicate at the Easter time. This is called the Paschal Communion, part of our Easter duty. However, the Church desires us to go more frequently to Holy Communion. The obligation of Holy Communion begins when a child comes to the use of reason. Children generally come to the use of reason in their seventh year. The seventh year begins on the sixth birthday when the child completes 6 years of life. The full use of reason is not required for the first communion. The child should be properly prepared to receive the sacrament. He does not need to know the entire catechism. It is sufficient for him to have a general knowledge of the truths necessary for salvation and a becoming devotion. Above all, he should know what and whom he is going to receive. Pope Pius X is called the Children's Pope because he allowed the custom of the first Christians of allowing children to receive Holy Communion when they came to the use of reason. In some countries, the practice had been introduced of making children wait until they were 12 years old before they were permitted to receive Holy Communion. Those in danger of death are bound to receive Holy Communion. If a person is seriously ill, the priest should be summoned at once. Children in danger of death should be given Holy Communion, provided they know the difference between common food and the Eucharist and adore it reverently. Why is it well to receive Holy Communion often, even daily? It is well to receive Holy Communion often, even daily, because this intimate union with Jesus Christ, the source of all holiness and the giver of all graces, is the greatest aid to a holy life. Good Catholics should go to Holy Communion at least once a month, or better, every time they hear Mass. Fervent Catholics communicate daily. If the body cannot do without food, how can the soul? A young man once was known to be extremely attached to his father. Several times he asserted that there was nothing he would not do for his father. He even said that if necessary, he would die for his father, just to please him. One day a friend said, quote, "Your father is in the next room, waiting to see you. He has waited there a long time," end quote. And the young man answered, quote, I am too busy. I just saw him last week. Let him wait a year, and I shall visit him," end quote. What would you think of such a young man? He is the type of many Catholics today who receive Holy Communion only at Easter. If we have the proper dispositions, we may communicate daily, except on Good Friday. Early Christians communicated daily. Persons who are accustomed to communicate daily do not need to go to confession daily. They should go to confession weekly or twice a month, unless they fall into mortal sin, when they should be sorry and go to confession at once. Some persons say that they are not good enough to go to daily communion. They should remember that the Eucharist is not meant as a reward of virtue, but as an aid towards the attainment of virtue. So long as one is in the state of grace and has the right intention, he should receive Holy Communion as often as he can. The Holy Eucharist was not instituted for angels, but for men. Holy Communion may be received only once a day, except when one happens to fall dangerously ill and receives the Viaticum. Holy Communion is usually distributed at Mass or immediately before or after it. It may be given at any hour at which it is permitted to say Mass, or even in the afternoon for some good reason, provided one is fasting. That ends our reading for the Holy Communion. Do we have any questions or comments? Okay, I don't know.
We can receive Holy Communion on Good Friday, correct?
We do.
The priest, I guess that was changed. I don't know who or where that was changed, but yes, I think that was changed. by Pius the X, but I'm not certain of that. Again, we are looking at an older book, and probably at the time this was written, the requirement was to fast from midnight on, and again, that too was mitigated, so that we only need to be fasting for 3 hours before Holy Communion, and abstaining from liquids for 1 hour, and the only exception to that would be water, which we can receive at any time. And of course, if we are taking medication, medication does not break the fast. So if we need to take medication before going to Holy Communion, we are permitted. So on Good Friday, the priest is actually consecrated host on Thursday for Good Friday that are distributed then.
Your Excellency, we have a question about the age of reason over here.
Okay. The age of reason. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I guess, what's our question there? I guess we thought the age of reason, well, when I was little, it was 8. Or that's when everybody made their first communion at the age of 8. I guess we thought the age of reason was at 7, but the wording made it sound like 6.
Okay, so... getting to the way old people calculate their age. Once you have your 6th birthday, the next day you are in your 7th year. So you have completed 6 years and you are now in your 7th year. You're not in your 6th year. You have completed 6 years. So when you say you're 6 years old, you have completed 6 years, but now you are technically in your 7th year, which will end at your birthday. So they are looking at their 7th year from basically the day after your 6th birthday. So that's quite young. But again, it's in general, because we can say every child reaches the age of reason at 6 years and 1 day. But generally they would take that time, the 7th year, to prepare the children for their communion, so they would have that year to work on it. And of course, as the child matures and understands what is going on, then we say they are reaching the age of reason. And we're looking basically that the child understands that he is truly receiving Jesus Christ, and to understand what that is and what it means to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. And that the child is old enough and mature enough to come up to the communion rail with their hands piously folded to receive our Lord, not stick their fingers in their mouth or talk with our Lord in their mouth, but to truly understand that this is a solemn and sacred moment. I would say that very few are ready after their 6th birthday.
And I do think a lot of other catechism books do clearly say age of 7 as the age of reason.
As the age of reason.
And that's obviously, we talked about that at the youth retreat, that that isn't strictly black and white, because some children
are going to be slower.
Might need a little bit more time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. But that led to another question. When you talk about folding your hands piously when they come to communion, so then... Novus Ordo's like cross their fingers. The traditional Catholics straighten their fingers. Is there a right or wrong way to fold your hands for Mass?
There is. The proper way is to keep your fingers straight, not bending your fingers. Your right thumb should cross over your left thumb. Your hand should be held to your breast and not in front of your mouth or your face. Especially at Holy Communion, we need your hands to be down lower. And the children are generally taught this, or at least they were taught this in making their first communion. But the problem is they see so many adults who are careless. And I realize that some adults, as they get older, there's arthritis in their hands and they can't really put them in that position. And so they become lax in that, and the children think that is the way to do it, and we see that they begin imitating, just as we see some people with problems with their knees will not genuflect all the way to the floor, and the children think, well, the adults can get away with this. Grandma didn't go all the way to the floor, so I don't have to. And it seems to, you know, unless somebody is paying attention and correcting this, it tends to just go from one generation to another. And from time to time, we have to call it out, and people say, well, what's the big deal? We've always done it this way. But yes, the rubrics call for us to fold our hands with the fingers straight, pointing upwards. I used to hear some elderly people tell me, well, if your fingers are pointing down, if your fingers are bent and pointing down, you're not raising your prayers to God, you're praying in the other direction, which was quite the motive to make sure your fingers are pointing upward, because you want your prayers to go up towards God.
So is that just for communion time, or should we be teaching the kids to do that for the whole Mass?
Well, if they're using a missal or something else, obviously you can't be holding your hands like that. But when our hands are free, that's the position they should be in. Not in our pockets, not down by our sides. But truly, if our hands are unoccupied, they should be folded.
Are we good? That answers everybody's question?
Yeah.
All right, we're good.
Good questions.
Okay. Okay, we have a comment here. I see many persons simply dropping their hands to the side and walk back to the pew. And again, maybe some have done this. I don't really watch the people as they're going back. I try not to watch the people at all, but their hands should be joined. They have Christ within their body. This is, you haven't just received a cracker or a wafer or cookie. You have received God himself into your body, and your posture, your behavior should reflect that. And so, yes, they should be piously folding their hands, not looking around, but truly looking within. I don't want them to trip over things. You do have to look around you to see where you're walking, but to be looking all over the church is unbecoming. To swing your hands by your side is unbecoming. But truly, you should fold your hands. And yes, you'll probably think that you'll be embarrassed. Others are going to see me. And as I mentioned in my sermon yesterday, Feast of the Holy Trinity, we should make the sign of the cross without fear, without hesitation, without shame. We should not be afraid to let the world see us make the sign of the cross properly and piously. And I think even more so in church, we should fold our hands properly and piously, and we should not fear what other people are going to think or what they're going to say, but perhaps we will give others the motivation and the example to follow, rather than being careless and lackadaisical, I would say, in our mannerisms and our attitude towards going to Mass and receiving our Lord in Holy Communion.
Well, I was going to add that it might be interesting for some people, and they probably, most people haven't seen it, and they definitely did not see it this week at the last week at the retreat, because I went to earlier Mass. But as a religious, my hands are folded underneath my scapular. That's, and I think if some of the friars would also have their hands within the sleeves of their habit when receiving, and the reason for that is it's just to express humility and respect to God in a different way. So in case anyone's wondering why they don't see my hands, that's why. And it's strange for me now to have them, if I have them out at any time, because I'm so accustomed to keeping them behind my scapular.
One of the problems I have with not only first communicants, but many people, they fold their hands correctly, but then they put them in front of their mouth when they come to communion. Well, I can't give you Holy Communion if your mouth, you have your hands in front of your mouth. Really, our hands need to be down lower so that, first of all, the server can put the paten between your hands and your chin. The paten needs to be under the chin there. Your head needs to be tilted back, and your mouth needs to be open, and your tongue slightly outward so that you can receive the host on your tongue. Putting your fingers in the way is not very convenient for anyone. It makes it more difficult and more challenging. Something else I try to remind children of, but I think even the adults need to hear it, is when the priest is bringing our Lord to you to place him on your tongue, you do not need to lunge forward. You just wait. The priest will bring our Lord to you. You don't have to move or... you just make it more complicated, more difficult for everyone involved. Just stay still and patiently wait for our Lord to come to you.
Bishop, I have the microphone muted because you have these girls laughing hysterically.
Well, I think also I remember getting a correction pretty early on here that I don't need to tilt my head so far back because, I mean, I learned that as a child, and he just reminded me as a...
You're pretty tall.
Yeah, tall. Emphasis on tall. And the ladies that were at the retreat know exactly why he's saying that. But in all these years, here I am in my 30s, and it's just now being pointed out. But I think I accepted that correction pretty humbly.
Now, with the bishop, it is often common for people to want to kiss the bishop's ring before he gives them communion. And that can be a little tricky if you've got your tongue sticking out. You don't want me to, I'm not going to offer my ring to you if I see your tongue sticking out. If your tongue is not sticking out, I'm going to offer my ring to you. Now, if you stick your tongue out when I'm offering my ring to you, you really mess things up. So if I come to you and your tongue is sticking out, I am ready to give you communion. I don't see your tongue sticking out, I will give you my ring first and then offer our Lord to you.
Well,
but these are just technicalities that need to be worked out, practical things that need to be worked out. And usually we explain these things to the children. But you don't have to kiss the bishop's ring. But if you desire to, then you must be prepared to do that.
Well, thankfully, I remember that Father Anthony does not wear a ring, so I didn't get too confused.
Okay, shall we end with our prayer? Act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.